my name. That fell off in the rock of Ding-Ding.
Hi, my name's Greg, and in the days before quarantine, I was a professional critic. But nowadays, I mostly fill my spare time with deep dives into pop culture history. Join me as we journey back to the start of the Marvel Universe and read our way forward, book by book, issue by issue, through the good, the bad, the iconic, and the just plain weird of the complete Marvel reading order. This is Man vs. Marvel. Hey, true believers, it's Greg. So, I mentioned in the past that not every episode was going to be a full Marvel roundup, and sometimes I'd be doing weird filler-type episodes. This is one of those weird filler-type episodes. See, I spent most of the past week dealing with a more chaotic home situation than usual. I had contractors coming in to fix up two of my bathrooms, I had to get estimates on cutting down some trees that have been dying for a while and might fall, and then, on top of all that, I finally moved from a partial work-from-home to a full laptop-based work-from-home structure. It was a lot, and it took up most of the time that I usually spend researching, writing, and recording this show. Yes, I consider reading comic books research. Deal with it. But even more than that, when I did have the time to record, sometimes I didn't have the quiet location to do so because of work being done at home. Now, I could have rushed out an episode with 6 issues and no guest stars for historical reenactments, but I didn't want to do that. I'd rather put out a stopgap and just have some low-key fun for a week, and then give you the big action-packed episode you deserve next time. So today, instead of the next 10 issues in the Marvel reading order, we're going to talk about the worst thing Marvel ever did. Let me set this up with a little context. When I was in college, I played synthesizer and sang backup in a pop-punk band with a few of my friends. We didn't get a ton of gigs, so most of our practice sessions involved us hanging out in our bass player's basement, playing video games, and laughing at weird stuff we found on YouTube. Good times. And then, one day we went digging in the video game drawer, and we found a giveaway CD that Tyler the bass player's kid brother had got in a Happy Meal when he was younger. It was called Spider-Man and Friends. I figured it was some collection of the cartoon theme songs over the years. Probably maybe 3 songs to get you to want to buy the whole album for your kids out of nostalgia. So we put it on to see what it was. Nope. Big nope. We couldn't make it more than 5 minutes without turning the CD off and burying it way back where we found it. And this must have been a common phenomenon, because this was not a promotional CD. They were giving away the whole thing in Happy Meals because they couldn't sell the damn thing. This is what happened. This is Marvel's original sin. Back in 2003, when the Marvel movies had only barely started to take off at Fox, Marvel decided to give up all credibility forever and sell their merchandising rights to anyone who wanted them. During this time, one of the products they put out was the Spider-Man and Friends franchise, which took the Marvel characters from all over the canon and reinvented them as a truly terrible Barney-type preschool show. They built a pretty credible super team. They had Spider-Man, the Hulk, Captain America, Storm, and Wolverine. They even brought in Mayday, aka Spider-Girl, to represent the 21st century characters as well as the classics. And then they shit all over them. Look, kids love superheroes. Everybody knows this. Part of Marvel's strength as a franchise is their ability to get both relatively adult and still be able to put out content that remains kid-friendly without condescending to them. Ask any millennial if they remember watching a Marvel show as a kid, and they'll rattle off the big three. First, X-Men, then Spider-Man, and then X-Men Evolution when they were a tween or a teen. And those shows still hold up pretty damn well today because the source material was good enough that they didn't feel the need to pander. But Spider-Man and Friends goes beyond pandering. This isn't just Marvel kissing ass. This is Marvel licking ass. Oh, please, please, please love our characters from an age before you're able to talk. Of course, Marvel's come a long way as a media entity since 2003. They've partnered up with Disney and Lucasfilm as a single company. They've gotten a strong grip on who they'll license their intellectual property to. And they've earned back all the respect they lost with dubious cash cow products like this in the 90s and the early aughts. But with that said, I'm going to play you some clips from the Spidey and Friends album today, so you can understand just how far they'd fallen and how far they had to rise. Since the only character we've met so far in this countdown has been the Hulk, we're going to focus on Hulkster clips today. I found most of these on a fantastic oddball pop culture blog called scarycrayon.com. I could have pulled clips off of YouTube, but that would have seriously ruined my algorithm for the rest of my life. Every time I turn on my TV, I don't want Android to recommend Spidey and Friends to me. I will never escape that shame. So as we go, we're going to fact check these lyrics against what we know about these characters in real life, because I believe in good, honest journalism, and that's what this blog is. We'll jump into this deep literary analysis right after these messages from me. So what's the first thing you think of when you hear that little jingle? Is it 1-877 cars for kids? Because I couldn't get away from that myself. Right off the bat, it sounds like they tried to write a stereotypical Randy Newman song, but they weren't allowed to talk about corrupt politics or institutional racism, and nobody says the N-word.
Spidey and Friends, they'll be together right until the end. I'm Randy Newman, I wrote short people. Disney pays me to do this shit.
Now let's take a look at those lyrics in depth, from the top. Spidey's friend Hulk is a real cool guy. Debatable. The Hulk may be one of the lamer Avengers, but compared to some of the also-rans we've met in the first episodes alone, he can still more than hold his own. Moving on. Anything he's got, he'll let you try. Because he shares with his friends. Now, this one is a stretch. First off, what does the Hulk have? Purple pants? That's about it. And I don't want to try those purple pants. He's probably going commando under them, and God only knows what kind of weird communicable diseases a jolly green giant has. Does the Hulk share with his friends? Does the Hulk have friends? So far, the only thing we've seen the Hulk try to share is genocide. And you can see that's the way a friend should be. Now, I'm assuming that lyric means a friend should share, and not that a friend should try to kill all life on Earth just for giggles. Spidey and Friends. They say it twice, as if to emphasize that Spidey has friends. Are they in denial? Is Spider-Man in denial? I know Peter Parker grew up lonely, and the Avengers aren't super fond of him. But now it just feels like he's trying too hard. It's like he's saying Spidey has friends. Spidey does have friends. They do exist. Sure they do. They'll be friends right to the end. Assuming that the end is Infinity War, I guess that's true. But it's hard to rhyme they'll be friends until Thanos snaps them into dust, isn't it? One for all for one. When they get together, they have lots of fun. What is the songwriter trying to communicate here? Now, if I recall the events of Endgame, it was split about 50-50 between having the time of our lives kicking bad guy ass versus traumatized warriors in a desperate battle to remain sane in the face of absolute terror. I'm declaring this song dubious in terms of canon. Also, next time anyone asks you what you do with a master's degree in English, this is what you do with a master's degree in English. Now let's look at the song that finally made me give up on this CD so many years ago, a song I still hear in my dreams and my nightmares, Come and Meet the Hulk. Did I warn you that these are only getting worse? Because they are. And this is not the worst one yet. They're only getting worse from here. You don't have to finish this episode. You don't have to hate yourself like I apparently hate myself. But if you're still here, I'm going to do a little analysis. Come on, come on. Now, I'd like to believe that this is what Marvel said when they finally heard the album. Oh, come on, come on. Less invitation and more shocked disbelief. Come and meet the Hulk. Given what we know about the Hulk so far, I don't think it's responsible to encourage children to meet the Hulk. I think whoever introduces their child the Incredible Hulk should probably be turned into child services. Now what's next? Oh, I'm big and green, but I'm never mean, and I never like to sulk. Okay, now the Hulk sings a verse, complete with a little dance break in between lines like he's doing a teeny tiny jig. But as for what he says, well, he is big, and he is green, but he's always mean. And he always sulks. It's his defining trait. So half of what the Hulk says here is a bald-faced deception. I'm big and green, and I'm always mean, and a pathological liar, too. It's probably a little harder to sing, though. And finally, come and meet the Hulk. Repeated. Once again, we're invited to meet with this dubious character, to bring our children to this dubious character. Now, if you thought there was a 1 in 1,000 chance that the mall Santa at Christmas would bludgeon your child to death, you wouldn't let your kid near Santa's village. But with the Hulk, it's more of a 1 in 1 chance that the Hulk will bludgeon your child to death. And yet, here we are, taking Junior and Little Miss to meet the Hulk. How did we come to this? How did Marvel come to this? How did I come to this just 4 episodes into my podcast? Life is weird, you guys. This has to be the worst episode I will ever do. I hope this is the worst episode I will ever do. Let's do another.
Now I'm the big green Hulk and I'm very, very strong. And I always say I'm sorry if I do something that's wrong.
And he's very, very funny. He makes me laugh and smile because he has his very own Hulkerific style.
Yes, I have my very own Hulkerific style because I'm the Hulk.
To be specific.
And I've got Hulk.
And now the Hulk raps. Guys, my enthusiasm is waning fast. Every song I listen to just makes me lose my faith in Marvel a little bit more. But if we're going to talk about this one, I want to start with a memory some of you may have repressed. Do you remember the Master Rapper in the early 90s? Master Rapper was this character that Barney Rubble would dress up as in Fruity Pebbles commercials, like a cross between a pimp and a guy from Run DMC. And he would sneak into Fred Flintstone's house and rap to him, and Fred would dance, and Barney would use this as a distraction to steal the Fruity Pebbles and run. As far as cultural historians know, this commercial was the first ever appearance of the hip-hop cliche, I'm insert name here, and I'm here to say... Now, I think it's a minor miracle that the Hulk doesn't start his rap with that line. So let's analyze. Yo, I'm the big green Hulk, and I'm very, very strong. They're not wrong so far, although I don't think the Hulk would begin sentences with yo. He's not a white dude who listened to like 3 Beastie Boys songs and suddenly decided he has flow. And I always say I'm sorry if I do something that's wrong. Did the Hulk apologize when he tried to blow up the Earth? Did he apologize to Boris Karloff for ripping him off in issue 2? Did he apologize for the Ang Lee movie wasting 2 hours of our time? No, and no, and very much no. And he's very, very funny. He makes you laugh and smile because he has his very own Hulkerific style. No, chorus of rapping children and their moms. Hulk inspires many feelings. Most of these are awe, terror, fear, various amounts of pain. And the other feelings are mostly related to the Avengers porn parody, but we'll save that for another filler episode. Yes, I have my very own Hulkerific style, because I'm the Hulk, to be specific. Yes, he's the Hulk. He sounds terrific. Does he, though? Now the Hulk jumps back in again to try and get us to buy that Hulkerific is a thing, but it's not working. Stop trying to make Hulkerific happen, Hulk! I don't know how many more of these songs I can do. I am reaching the breaking point, but I shall endure until the bitter end because I'm doing this for you.
I had a dream.
I had a dream.
The other day.
The other day.
No more. No more of whatever that was. Fuck this. That's it. That's a bridge too far. I'm out. Spidey and Friends, cancelled. Special thanks to Wes at the Scary Crayon blog for hosting these abominations. I'll be back next week once I wash the sound out of my ears. But hey, stay tuned after the credits for some exclusive bonus content. Hey, thanks so much for listening. Today's episode was written, researched, and directed by me, Greg Kureston. You can follow me on Twitter at VersusMarvel, that's V-E-R-S-U-S Marvel, or Instagram at ManVSMarvel. Yes, I know none of them match, but branding is hard in 2021. Got a question, comment, suggestion, or a bit of trivia? Think you figured out which Avenger was Mephisto all along? Or maybe you've just got a really good shawarma recipe to share? Email me at manversusmarvel@gmail.com or message me on Instagram. Special thanks as always to Travis Starnes for running the Marvel Reading Order site, and to the good people at Marvel Enterprises for creating so many wonderful characters and stories. Until next time, folks, keep reading, keep believing, and in the words of our late great Uncle Stan, Excelsior! Oh, wait. Did I say exclusive bonus content? Is that what I said? I'm sorry, I must have stuttered. What I meant was more Spidey and Friends. Fuck you!
I was walking down the street the other day when this big green guy came walking my way. I said, hey, what's your name? He said,
I'm gonna tell you with the fucking name.
I had to hear it, so now you have to hear it. Good night.